Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH. Know Your Risk Radio is hosted by Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often volatile markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And we are back. Let's do it. I'm pumped. It is time for the most scintillating hour in finance radio. Switching things up a little bit, little cadence difference there. Anyway, got a great show planned for you today. As I say every week, we're not planning bad shows. But today's show is special to me because we've got a great interview. And it's with a guy that hasn't been on the show for a while. It's way overdue. And very bright guy. He Marcos Bueno, the architect and the operator of our Momentum algorithmic portfolio that has just blown the doors off the market. It's just been killer. We're gonna talk about the algo, talk about its beginnings, how it works, kind of do all that kind of stuff. And we've done this before, but so we're gonna cover it, you know, not in great detail because again, we've talked about it before. But also just talking about markets, talking about Marcos has just done so much. He's worked on the prop desks of JP Morgan, Goldman Sachs, UBS, worked at some of the biggest hedge funds in the world. Just a fun guy to talk to. Someone I consider a very good friend and someone who's taught me a lot too. And an invaluable part of what we do here at Bulwark. So that's going to be an awesome, awesome interview and was fun to do. And I really hope and think you guys will get as much out of it as I did. And then we're going to do some really interesting stuff about Tesla has come out. Want to do that. You guys know I just can't leave it alone. But anyway, let's get into the market update. This is one of the most, I'm trying to think of the right word. Frustrating is certainly part of it. Confusing is part of it. This is boring is also kind of part of it. This is just a bad market. And it's gotten bad over the last 2 months. Nothing's married up. It's boring because volatility is low on the other line, on the indexes, and yet single stock volatility is just massive. We've got a really small oil company. Very small position for us. It's more speculative, but it's a great little company that we think is really deeply undervalued. They announced earnings last week, about a week and a half ago, that were right in line with expectations. The stock has dropped 70% for 65% for no reason. Thank God it was a small position for us. It really hasn't affected the portfolio, but these are the kind of moves that are going on right now. We're just like, this is just, it's either amateur hour at the Apollo. I for the first time in doing this show for a really long time, the market is just completely nonsensical. It's not tracking anything. You just have this spin cycle going on underneath the market where, you know, look at Tesla the last 2 days. Perfectly. You're getting movement of the individual stocks just up and down, up and down, up and down. Indexes don't go anywhere. Every time the NASDAQ tries to cross to a new all-time high, I mean, what is the bloody thing done? The NASDAQ has failed to break out now. I don't even know. I should have counted before we came on here. But I mean, you've had so many fake breakouts where you've flirted with it, just can't do it. It's just a garbage market. It really is. I don't really have anything. In times like this, for people that are trading at home, you know, there are times where you don't have to trade. Sometimes you just pull back and go, you know what? This is crap. The stuff that's moving is moving on nothing. It's just nonsense. The other thing you don't want to do though, and on some of these things, like that oil company that's dropping for no reason, and it's on ridiculously light volume. It's just a weird setup. I think the tendency a lot of times people would be like, well, I got to buy more. Now, just sit on your hands until this market's going to break out one way or the other. This is just chop, and it's been chop for two straight months. It's just ugly to the point where, you know, our performance has kind of bounced around, but we kind of end up at the same place. I tell you the truth, and if you're a client, don't think we're taking our hands off the wheel. We're not at all. It's just this is a nothing market. I think the biggest mistake you can make in a market like this is reading too much into any moves. This is just chaos. And I'm not even going to try to come up with reasons why. These are just frustrating periods of times. If I wasn't managing other people's money, probably 4 to 6 weeks ago, I literally would have left and gone on a trip. It's just a garbage market to trade. So I don't really want to get into too many movements of different things. Oil is just same thing. Even commodities are doing it. Not all commodities, specifically oil. There are commodities that are breaking out, like corn just went to a new all-time high. You've got signs of inflation popping up all over the place. It's just really hard right now to delineate whether we're looking at real inflation. Of course, the Fed's going to tell us we're not, because that's what they're always going to tell us. Or whether we're just looking at supply constraints, right? Which would be transient, meaning that quote unquote inflation wouldn't be with us for a while, right? As soon as the supply constraint gets dealt with, lumber is a perfect example of this. As soon as the supply constraint gets dealt with, you know, then you're off to the races again. But this is just a chop fest. You know, what's funny is Marcos, who we're going to do the interview with, he and I had a conversation about a month and a half ago where I was considering moving the entire value portfolio to cash and just sitting and waiting for this market to figure out what in the heck it's going to do. Looking back on it, I should have done that. And again, for those people at home, that's okay. You can do that because the tendency is to overtrade, right? And that's never a good strategy. I can get you. It's kind of like if you dug yourself a hole, quit digging. That's typically what happens when you start overtrading a portfolio and responding to just nonsensical moves. Like I said, it's really deceiving. You look at the VIX, it looks like it's everything sanguine and it's fine. The VIX is like, you know, 17, 18 or something like that. You look at the underlying individual stock volatility and it's just ridiculous. It's meaningless. Let's see. The market still, I mean, literally, guys, it's like on a 1 to 2 day basis. Value tech, you can't make any sense of this. So this is kind of a funny and odd market. Gold is doing the same. Funny market update because I don't know what to tell you. This is just garbage. So whatever you have, you're trading your own account. I'd advise raising some cash and just sitting or keeping your positions. I don't know if I've told you guys this yet, but this is a garbage market. So anyway, but again, just take it from me. The key is to not read too much into markets like this because this is just nonsense. Let's see. Like I said, gold, same thing. The more and more I keep thinking about it, it's just trash. Other weird thing is you got the yield on the 10-year down today, which has been typically bullish for stocks. At one point, the NASDAQ was holding in there better than the Dow. Now it's flipped back around. I mean, the other interesting thing, too, is the Russell 2000 and the NASDAQ. It's like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. One day the NASDAQ's outperforming. The next day it's the Russell. I think you just have a market in transition here that just can't figure out what in the heck it wants to do. So that's really it on the market update, guys. I really don't want to spend too much time on it because I think the biggest mistake you can make in a market like this is reading too much into things. Now, a market like this will unquestionably unearth and uncover value opportunities. The tough part is delineating between what are the value opportunities and what are the traps. Right. And that's one of the things I mentioned, that oil company. That's one of the things we're digging into right now, making sure there isn't something fundamentally we've missed that could explain this dive, because you don't want to always want to just assume the market's wrong. That's a good way to lose money. And if everything checks out, we will probably buy more of that. But it's just bizarre. Just bizarre. Right. I've read the earnings report several times. I'm sitting there going, what? And it's on the lightest volume. It's like somebody is just trickling stock in there, just constantly hitting the bid with really, really light volumes of stock, to the point where our accounts are big enough to where we could come in and probably push the price of the stock up 30% in a day. But then you're bidding against yourself. You know, you don't want to do that. Just a bizarre setup. Anyway, let's just move on. This market update it's been one of the least favorite ones I've done. Just a garbage market, Darren. Have I made that perfectly clear? I hope so. Anyway, so stick with us through the break. We're going to get back and talk about some things that are actually interesting rather than this garbage. So as always, guys, at any moment during this, or if maybe it's something you've been putting off, I talked to a couple people this week. You know, Zach, we've been meaning to talk to you forever. We're kind of kicking ourselves so we haven't called. Again, if you're looking at these things, sitting there going, you know, we need a little more expertise. We need to make sure that we've got some risk management. Guys, give us a call. There's a better way to do this. We can lower your fees, increase your upside potential, and drastically reduce your risk. Okay. And that is something that everybody should be interested in. Everybody. So call us 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. You guys know the drill. Also, you can follow me on Twitter at @KYRradio. We post research, market sentiments. Sometimes it's just me going back and forth with other money managers, but can kind of give you a look behind the curtain at what we're looking at during the week in real time, right? Because we're only talking to you on Fridays. So give me a follow. Anyway, stick with us. We're going to be right back. We're going to dig into Tesla. Some really interesting stuff came out this week that I wanted to address. So stick with us through the break. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
What does outside-the-box investing really look like? Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management, and see a side-by-side comparison of your current portfolio versus one Zach would recommend. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently, one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss, but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. All right. Once more into the breach. Going to talk about Tesla. And I don't know why I do this to myself, right? We have no positions. I won't touch the bloody thing because it's ridiculous. It's kind of like the market right now. It's just trash. But I'm sure. Well, I sure is a strong word. I feel like it's pretty strong possibility that there's some Tesla fans that listen to our show. And I think that some things that have happened recently are wonderful examples of why I think this stock is a complete joke, why I think the company is a complete joke, and why I think people that own the stock are getting sold an absolute bill of goods. Okay, so first of all, earnings reports come out. Headline deal, Tesla, big revenue increase, record profit, or something like that. I don't know what it was. And then you look into it, I think they post like $590 million of profit, which if you think about it, they did like 30, it's like annual quarterly revenue of like $8 to $10 billion and it's 500 million. Once again, it's still not a profitable company. So the headline number, Tesla, $580 million profit. So then you dig into the numbers, okay? I think it was something like, $490 million of that profit was from EV credits. Okay, that are going to be decreasing over time. And then the other part of it was, wouldn't you know it, Musk, in his infinite wisdom, after saying a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, that cash is trash and he's buying $1 billion worth of Bitcoin, he already sold a chunk. You know how much he sold? Literally just enough to eke Tesla over the profitability level. So now the guy is using a run-up in crypto, which he's pumping on his Twitter page constantly, right? And then he's ginning up all this interest, encouraging people to go buy Bitcoin, and then he's turning around and selling into the market so Tesla can hit its numbers. So once again, you've got contrived profit from Tesla. Media picks up on it. Oh, it's another profitable quarter. You're like, this company has never even come close. They haven't been in the same room with an operational profit. It's really remarkable. And to understand why, if you have some time, you guys have heard Grant Williams on the show before. We've had him on a couple times. Grant's a great guy and has some great podcasts of himself or himself. And it's the Grant Williams podcast. You just Google that. You can pull up his page. But he's got four different podcasts. So go. You got to subscribe. It's a paywall. But if you like podcasts, if you like listening to the show, I also suggest you do that. Like I said, great guy, super smart, very good experience, and just has really interesting guests and really fun conversations to listen to, which is always fun. I love his work. And I think highly of him as an individual as well, which is always nice. But he had on a gentleman recently named, I'm completely blanking on the guy's name, but really sharp investor. And very experienced guy. And he was going through, you're talking about Tesla results. And more importantly, he had some interaction with ARK Invest. Now, ARK, for those of you that don't know, ARK is the company run by Cathie Wood, who is famous for putting out these crazy price targets on Tesla, many of which have come true. You know, tip my cap to her and her team. They made a lot of money. But like I've told you on the show before, it's really fascinating because if you read their research, like the note they put out in 2007 or 2017, forecasting that Tesla would go to 4,000 a share. And remember they had the big stock split. So on a post stock split basis or pre stock split basis, had Tesla not split, it reached the equivalent value as if it hit 4,000 a share. The only catch is that all the reasons that they cited, all the progress that the company was going to make that was going to drive the stock to that level, literally nothing occurred. None of it came to fruition, which is just classic Musk, right? Promise the world and deliver nothing. Not nothing. I mean, they put out some cars, but just it's, you know, promising the sky and delivering on virtually none of it. And then as soon as to placate investors and to keep them from focusing on the promises that he hasn't fulfilled on or the outright lies he's told, right? He just sells them a new bill of goods, right? It's the bait and switch game constantly. Look over here, right? Oh, 1 minute's crypto. Oh, you got to have crypto on the balance sheet. Then you find out he sold 25% of it just so he could hit his numbers and profits. So now I'm looking at Tesla going, are they an automobile manufacturer? Or are they a crypto trading desk? Like, who are these guys, right? What's their gig? But anyway, in this interview that Grant Williams does, which again, if you really want to understand why serious investors laugh at this company and laugh at the Tesla investors, not laugh at them like we wish them harm, because the average Tesla investor is just buying into the narrative, right? You know, they want to, the reasons here, he's saving the planet, right? These people want to believe in it. They want a hero. And, you know, I think it's a really bad premise to invest on. But needless to say, a lot of these people are harmless and like Tesla for the right reasons, and they're not sophisticated investors and they don't know what to look for. But you got to also look at what drives the stock. And to do that, I think the biggest cheerleader, fanboy, whatever you want to call it, of the whole thing is ARK Invest. And the reason I say that is I listened to, and I've mentioned this on the show before, but I listened to a debate at a financial seminar one time where they had Cathie Wood there as a Tesla bull, and they had another person there as a Tesla bear. I'm forgetting who the Tesla bear was. Anyway, and so they had a debate. And toward the end of the debate, somebody asked Cathie Wood, like, you know, what would happen that would change your view on Tesla that would make it a sell? And she kind of gave this cold look into the camera and was like, nothing. So you'd never change? No, nope. And I just started laughing so hard when I heard that, because you talk about the kiss of death, right? That alone is the most ridiculous, preposterous statement I've ever heard in my life. And people are like, well, she's been right. It doesn't matter. Think about what a ridiculous statement that is, right? Tesla has some very questionable accounting. And if you read ARK Invest research, they don't know accounting either. And I don't care what Cathie Wood's credentials say. Their research is some of the most preposterous, laughable crap I have ever seen in my life. And to really get it, like I said, you should subscribe to Grant Williams' podcast, because I think it's one of the most illuminating segments I've heard on Tesla. And he digs into the most recent ARK research report. And right out of the gate, you just got to look at the price target. So their price target on Tesla is $7,000 a share, which is essentially 10x from where it's currently trading. And that would take the Tesla valuation to $7 trillion with today's share count outstanding. Now, ARK doesn't seem to understand this, but it would actually take it to higher than $7 trillion. And the reason why is because they've got a lot of RSUs, a restricted stock out, and options, and they pay people in options. So more stock unquestionably will be on the market for this company in the next 4 or 5 years. And yet their price target on it is on it, their bull case, as they say it, is $7,000 in 4.5 years, a 10X from here. Okay, their middle of the road case, I think what they say it was $3,000, which would mean it was about 50% worth more than Apple is right now, the most profitable company in the history of finance. And their bearish case, their worst case scenario is $1,500 or a double from here. Okay, then they get into the reasons why. I don't even know, guys. And once again, you know, I've seen their shoddy research and laughed at it before and watched their research be literally 100% wrong. And the stock still reached the price target. So who knows, right? The stock, as we've talked about before, it does not trade on fundamentals. There's nothing fundamental about what this stock does. It's an automobile manufacturer that's trading at 20 times revenue. It's just ridiculous. And more importantly, every single business they're in is ridiculously capital intensive. So everybody goes, oh, they're a tech company. No, they're not. You know what tech companies have? Tech companies have 40% margins. That's one of the beautiful things about technology companies. Now, not all of them, right? But like, you know, software companies, these SaaS companies, I think a lot of their valuations are ridiculous too. But there's some type of underlying reason for the ridiculousness, right? There's something that you can at least point to and say, okay, that's part of why this thing's so ridiculous. With Tesla, you think about this. Toyota, best car manufacturer in the world at size, and one of the biggest, if not the biggest, I think. You know, I think Tesla, or I think Toyota averages like 6 or 7% margins. So if you think that Tesla can get to a $7 trillion market cap or be worth roughly 40% the entire size of the U.S. economy, just walk me through how they get to their profits. And if you read this research report put out by Kathy Wood, one of the things they hang their hats on is the autonomous taxi unit, meaning now we're going to completely forget the fact that we were supposed to have complete full self-driving cars by 2021. They're at level two. You need level five autonomy to reach there. So they're not even close. They're at the bottom of the rung. There are many companies who are further along in self-driving than Tesla is. Okay, so before we go, now I crude interruption, but I've gone way over. I got a hard break that I got to stop at. So we're going to continue this conversation because I really want to reiterate this point and help you guys understand where my angst toward Tesla comes from. So we got to take a quick break. As always, guys, you want a risk management strategy. You want a team that's looking deeper at this stuff, managing the risk in your portfolio. We can do it in such a way we're dropping your fees way down, right? Reducing those fees, getting rid of your bonds, getting in more productive, safer assets, risk management. Right, we do it correctly, better returns, lower volatility. Give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, forwardcapitalmanagement.com. You guys know the drill. We'll be right back. Stick with us through the break. This is the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
Do better in bull markets. Do better in bear markets. Pay less fees in all markets. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management. You can subscribe to Zach's free newsletter, The Bulwark Insider Report, at knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently, one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss, but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach uncover the truth about the financial markets with simple and honest advice to help you plan for retirement. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Have you heard? Beginning next year, all W-2 employees in our state will be taxed for long-term care, but not if you have an existing plan in place. The new government program will make Washington State employees pay for a long-term care plan through a new payroll tax. You won't have a choice, and you won't be able to opt out unless you have an existing plan in place, like my wife and I do, through 525 Advisors. Learn about this new payroll tax and new long-term care plans by attending a free live webinar Saturday, May 8th at 9 a.m. If you can't attend, there's another one Wednesday, May 12th at 3 p.m. Long-term care is such an important part of retirement planning. A good long-term care plan from 525 Advisors can make sure your care is funded and managed when you need it, protecting your loved ones and everything you've worked so hard for. They also have plans that pay you back if you never need it. So attend the free live webinar Saturday, May 8th at 9 a.m., another one Wednesday, May 12th at 3 p.m. Register now at 525longtermcare.com.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we're back. Okay, so let's get right into this. So we were talking about Tesla and why I think that's the right way to put it. The reason for my angst, and it's stronger than angst. I honestly view Elon Musk. I think he's a smart guy. I also think he's a complete fraudster. I think he's a complete huckster. And it's not me making allegations. I just don't know of any other CEO of a publicly traded company with that type of responsibility that's just openly lied so much. Literally every promise the guy makes, he doesn't deliver on. And that's part of the angst. But the other angst are the people out there shilling it, the Kathy Woods of this world, and nothing against her. I'm not alleging that she's, I want to point out the shoddiness of their research. Okay. And everybody else thinks it's amazing because they called these price targets. But the underlying research was completely wrong. They were wrong on everything, and the company still reached the price target because it's a mania. And they go into one of their biggest drivers or arguments for how Tesla's going to reach a $7 trillion market cap is the autonomous taxi service, right? So they're going to discover, they're going to get this full self-driving, at least to the point where it doesn't kill people, which is what's happening now, which is another thing. I don't know where the NHTSB, National Highway Transit and Safety Board, I believe is what it's called. I'm just shocked they let these guys run around and say they're full self-driving. And then Musk comes out and says, the car doesn't drive. Anyway, we've gone over this before. But one of the biggest arguments, getting back to the Kathy Wood and ARC story, is one of the biggest arguments they have is this autonomous taxi service. And they value that. I think they value that part of the business alone at like $1 trillion or something like that, and talk about all the profit they're going to make off it. Hey guys, I got news for you. The taxi business isn't very profitable. Right? So you look at the biggest taxi market in the entire world. This kind of gives you scope and size. It's New York. Do you know what the annual revenue is when you add up all the New York taxis together? It's $200 million. It's the biggest taxi market in the world. Okay. It is a complete joke to hang a $1 trillion valuation on that thing. And maybe it's even more. Maybe it's $1 trillion. I mean, might as well pick quadrillion, right? If we're going to pick a big number, let's make it fun. Quadrillion. Let's really blow them away. Then they get into how Tesla's doing its own insurance arm. And the way that they do it, basically, they say that Tesla will essentially to meet their price targets. This is they throw these numbers out there and nobody ever thinks to like back out of the number and see how you get there, right? So they throw this number out, what they think Tesla's car insurance division is going to be worth. And on the face of it, you're like, oh yeah, boy, they're going to do insurance too. That's, you know, they're going to be making money in many different ways. You know, this sounds really cool. Well, then you start comparing it to other insurance companies and you realize that for them to reach that number, Tesla essentially has to become the biggest car insurance company in the world. Okay. You also have to think that they have pricing power, but there are mandates and price guidelines by law that you have to adhere to if you're a car insurer. So they don't have, you know, unlimited ceiling to jack up their price. You know, there are metrics they have to operate within. So it's not like they can be, it's not like they can be this special company that figures out a better way to do it. And then you look at the valuation they're hanging on this insurance business, and they're valuing it at like 4 or 5 times the next largest car insurance business in the world. It's just magical thinking. And then the other thing that cracked me up is they're like, oh, we're going to think it's going to do this many in shares, right? The earnings per share will be this number. And then you ask a really simple, innocuous question like, oh, well, how many shares outstanding are you counting on? And they're like, oh, a billion. You go, well, that's how many shares outstanding they have now. You're not accounting for the, you know, 10 to 20% of the share count that's in restricted stock already that won't be restricted by then, or new stock options that they issue to Elon Musk or to other executives. And those stock options are massive. So then you ask him about that. And this guy that Grant Williams is interviewing in this interview, he went back and forth with one of their heads of research. And he asked him, he's like, how do you account for the share count? And he goes, oh, they're going to be buying stock back. And then you look at them and go, but none of their underlying business produce cash. Why would they be buying stock back? How? They need the money for operations. Oh, by this time, 4.5 years from now, you know, they're going to be doing $500 billion in profit. Oh, okay. So they're going to be doing roughly double the amount of profit in a no margin business. The best in the world is Toyota. They're operating with like a 6 to 7% margin. Well, they're going to get a lot of profit from their solar roof business, which hasn't generated any revenue. It's just a giant shell game. And I really don't think that the people at ARK are being disingenuous. I don't put them in the same, the same category as Musk. I just think that it's the most incredibly vapid research. Part of me was shocked that they even released it. It's the kind of research that a retail investor would eat up. And this is not me saying it because I think retail investors are dumb. If you've listened to the show, I've repeatedly said over and over that's not the case. But they don't do it for a living. They don't know what to look for, right? They don't know where the bodies are buried. A lot of them also don't have a really good grasp on accounting or how companies are valued anyway. So this is not a critique of intelligence. I was just shocked by the research report they put out, because I just sat there and I thought, I'd never tie my name to this. This work is so shoddy. And it's ridiculous. And you could see it on Twitter, because the guy Grant was interviewing, he goes back and forth with one of these heads of research at ARK. And the answers this guy had were just preposterous. It really is one of the most, you know, I think I'm willing to say, actually, that Tesla is the most remarkable investment story I've ever seen in my life. The amount of faith, it's a church, the amount of faith these investors have on things unseen, it's incredible. And Elon constantly overpromises and underdelivers, promises the sky, doesn't even deliver dirt. It's just lies openly about having bids for the company as a publicly traded CEO. Pumping cryptocurrency on his Twitter page and only to find out that he's selling into it so Tesla can hit its numbers. Media eats it up. Oh, another profitable. No, it wasn't a profitable quarter. It was just like all their other quarters. Their cash flow negative. No matter how high their revenue climbs, they keep losing money. And they got to rely on EV credits and now the sale of Bitcoin just to hit their quarterly numbers. So I recommend Tesla's a buy. Go. No, I can't even joke about that. But I'm also not telling you to sell it. You got to do what's right for you. I just think it's endlessly fascinating. And I also think it's just emblematic. And I've been saying this for years. And for years, Tesla keeps going up. So, you know, if you're out there and you made a bunch of money on it, great. More power to you. wish I would have been more willing to invest in fraud. And again, I'm not saying they're fraudulent, like outright fraudulent. I just think there's some very questionable accounting going on there. And most importantly, I think one of the things that scares me the worst about the stock is one of the things that I always think about when I'm buying or selling a stock is I always want to understand the bull and the bear case. And I want to know who the bears and the bulls are, because I think that can tell you something. And I want to listen to their thesis, right? I want to listen to why they think that. And When you look at Tesla, the only investor with any type of chops or whatever that's been involved in this is a guy by the name of Ron Barron. And he's a very accomplished investor and he's made a lot of money on Tesla. So more power to him. But I found his conversations about Tesla to be really unfulfilling because he won't get into any details. It's really bizarre, but they had a big investment in the company. I don't really get it. But literally every brilliant investor, everybody, every hardcore investor that I know, guys that have uncovered frauds, I mean, just, you know, they could be wrong and I could be wrong. But when I hear those guys echo my sentiments, it makes me feel a lot more comfortable about being on the right side of it. Because at a certain point, this just becomes math, right? You're just reading this stuff going, what? Like your case for buying this stock is a bunch of things happening that aren't even in the works yet. And projecting these numbers that are completely fictitious, that are based off just nonsense. It's really remarkable. And I think there's so much of that going on. I think the average investor out there, especially retail investor, I don't think they know what they own. And when this goes, and it will, and I think that like Marcos talks about in the interview coming up, I think we're at the edge of that as far as these joke stocks like Tesla go. I think they're in trouble. And the problem is retail investors, the average investors, even some pros, they don't know which ones stay away from, where the nonsense is, where the good stuff is. If you feel like you're walking through a minefield and you really don't know which way to turn and what to believe, guys, you need a risk management strategy. Call us. Learn how we can give you more upside, lower your fees, and drastically reduce your risks. You can win either way. If this market keeps going up, great. We'll make more money than you're making in your current portfolio. Or that's the idea, right? We can't promise returns. But most importantly, when this thing hits the grid, right? When this thing hits a wall, which it's going to do, you got a net underneath you. It's not going to blow up your retirement. There's a better way to do it, guys. Give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com. Ask for our Common Sense Investment Booklet. You can ask and speak to me. Yeah, you wanna, if you want to, maybe you don't, right? But if you want to, we can have a consultation and we just show you the difference between our portfolio and yours and show you how we can help you. If you find it compelling, join us, become a Bulwark client. Great. If not, wish you all the best. It's pretty simple. So give us a call, 866-779-RISK and 866-779-RISK. Got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Want to get into our short discussion on bonds before we jump into the interview. So stick with us through the break. This is the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach discuss key investment strategies across several asset classes, not just stocks and bonds. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Dory Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently, one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss, but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Hi, this is Brian Ott with 525 Advisors, and I want to say thank you for tuning in to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. If you're like me, you look forward to this every weekend. I have been working with Zach and his team for several years now because Zach gets it. He puts his clients first. And for me, that's what it's all about. I know retirement planning can seem daunting at times, but my personal experience has taught me having a professional in your corner is essential. And Zach and his team have proven to me and my clients to be a tremendous asset. Not only will he guide you through your options, he will listen to you and make your concerns his top priority. So give Zach and his team a call. You'll be glad you did. And when you're ready, we can show you how to make sure your retirement plans aren't derailed by an extended healthcare event. We have many options to protect your nest egg and your family, including plans that pay you back if you never use them. You can learn more about us and our upcoming events at 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Really interesting thing just off the top here. Amazon announced really good earnings. I mean, I think it's more than priced into the stock if you look at the performance over the last year. And way above what analyst estimates were. And Amazon still closed red today. It could be transient. Maybe it doesn't mean anything, but that's just, that's bad action. When you get earnings beats like that, that's bad action. Tesla was up today, but it looks like there was more spoofing going on. I see evidence of people buying short-term calls. It'd take me 20 minutes to explain that, but keep an eye out, right? We might remember that bloodbath I was talking about a month ago in NASDAQ that could be on the way. I wasn't thinking it was because of the movement of the FANG stocks and how close the NASDAQ was to a breakout, but we still might not be out of the woods on that. That action today was very bearish. Anyway, so wanted to get into the bond discussion. A lady called, and I wanted to be very clear about this, guys. One thing it, and I know several out there are listening to us. You are clients. Some of you are becoming clients, and you guys that have dealt with us, you know this to be true. But one of the things we do here, I think, that is very different from a lot of other places is when you bring us a portfolio, we're going to go through every aspect of everything you own. And the stuff that's good, guys, we're going to recommend you keep it because it's the right thing to do. And all too often, if you take your portfolio somewhere, oh, this is all bad, right? You got to switch it all. You got to be careful about advice like that because remember, in this business, it's the same with, you know, cashing out your pension. If you're trying to evaluate whether to take your pension or to take a lump sum payout, call us. It doesn't obligate you to be a client, but I just want to make sure you get good advice because that's a big decision. And I mean that. And the problem with it is that people in the financial industry have an incentive to turn over everything, to tell you why your insurance policy is bad, to tell you why you need to cash. Why? Because it means it's more money they get to manage. And I'm assuming, look, there are a lot of people out there that wouldn't do it that way. It's all too often, and they're not even trying to be misleading about it, right? But it's just kind of where that self-interest creeps into the conversation. But a lady called us this week and she goes, you know, I've heard Zach, I like listening to the show. I think it's really informative, think it's fun, but Zach's always saying how bad bonds are. And I love my bonds. They've been fantastic. And we said to her, well, what kind of bonds do you have? And she was like, she named them. And she's like, you know, I'm getting 5.5% on these things. And I said, whoa. I'm not talking about that. I go, if you moved your money here, I wouldn't let you sell them. She goes, well, I thought you said bonds are bad. And I say, if you've got bonds from 15 years ago that haven't been called yet that are paying you 5.5% and they're with decent credit ratings and good companies, I'm not going to let you sell those. That makes sense. A guaranteed 5.5% return in this market? What am I talking about? I'm talking about people. First of all, most people don't have any of those left because if they're paying that much, most of them have been called and refinanced at lower levels. So there's just not much of that out there. But the vast majority of bondholders do not own individual bonds because an individual bond, if I'm getting paid 5%, let's say I've got 6 years left on the bond, and interest rates go up, yeah, the principal value of that bond will go down, but I'll just hold it to maturity and keep collecting my 5%, my 6%, whatever the case may be. But in a bond fund, it doesn't work that way. These bond funds are valued at net asset value, which means your investment is worth. And if you want to pull money out of that investment, you got to sell part of that bond fund, right? That's the way it works. Now, they can kick out some interest. But remember, money is moving in and out of these bond funds. And so as money moves in, they got to buy new bond funds. Well, the only new bonds to buy are ones that are paying nothing. Okay, so you can't sit there with a mutual fund and go, well, I'm just going to hold it. Totally different rules apply. Interest rates go up. Your bond fund is going to get hammered. And if you need money from that bond fund, there's not a day in the future where 4 or 5 years from now, your bond fund is going to be mature, right? It's not the way it works. It's got maturities up and down the ladder. So I just really want to say that if you've got investments and maybe you're sitting there going, Zach, I've wanted to call before, but I don't know if I want to switch over everything over to what you guys do. Listen, I tell people this all the time. In the beginning, you have to trust us, right? And eventually you will believe us, but we're going to sit there and go through it. We had a client come in not too long ago, big $400,000 whole life policy. If he was going to do it today, there are different things that I think would serve him better, but it was a good contract. It did what he needed to do. So we told him to keep the product. We will go through your portfolio with you and evaluate it and tell you which parts we think you should. And if we think you should keep it, we're going to tell you that, even if it means we make less money. Why? Because do the right thing. The business side of it will take care of itself. Get a reputation for shooting straight and giving people the right information and the accurate information, regardless of what it does to you financially, regardless of how much it means that I make. Why? Because it takes a lifetime to build a reputation. It takes about 3 minutes to ruin one. And we're going to be here for the long run. And like I've told you guys, we're the good guys. Doesn't mean we're always going to be right. We won't. We have losers too. But what it does mean is that the advice you get from us, I promise you, it's going to be unbiased and it's going to be in your best interest. I'm 39 years old. I got three children. We're going to be here for a while. And I know that the best way to make sure your business is there for the long run is to have integrity and to be honest. So if you need questions, even if you don't end up becoming a client, even if you're not planning on calling a client, you can still give us a call and we'll try to help you out. Anyway, now let's get into my favorite part of the show. We've got an outstanding interview with a brilliant, brilliant guy. He's not going to say it himself because he's too humble, but brilliant guy, Marcos Bueno, who runs our momentum portfolio. That's been a game changer for us. Incredible performer, protected money in the downturns. Brilliant guy. I really think you guys are enjoy it. So we'll air a little bit of it here on the show. We went a little bit over though. If you want to listen to the remainder of the interview, which I strongly suggest, this is a brilliant guy. He's been a trader at some of the biggest hedge funds in the world, worked on the proprietary trading desks of JP Morgan, UBS, Goldman Sachs. The guy's got some chops. Not to mention his MBA from Wharton and his master's in mathematical engineering from Sorbonne. This is a smart cookie. And so without further ado, I want to introduce my good friend and a colleague and somebody that I rely on and work with on a daily basis, Mr. Marcos Bueno. Marcos, welcome back to the show, man. It has been too long. We're thrilled to have you back.
Thank you, Zach. So am I. Well, that was an incredible introduction. I blushed listening to it. So. Yeah, thank you.
Hey, I'm not, I'm not being hyperbolic at all. You've been a tremendous help for us. Not just on the teaching and the things that I've learned from you and the ways I've learned to look at things, but also from the performance. And before we get into the stuff, and again, am I talking my book here? Yeah, partially. But also, I have been fascinated, and have learned so much from watching this algorithm work. And for those of you at home, Marcos isn't one of those guys that's going to be posting his performance and talking about it all the time because he's a real operator. You're not a showman. You're just a practitioner. But the run that you have been on, or that algo has been on, and not just the performance. You and I both know that, you know, upside perform. We're here to make money. But it's also how you deal with volatility. The performance that thing has cranked out and the benefit it has been to our clients is pretty remarkable. You've got to be pleased with the performance over the last couple of years. And again, especially not just the upside, but the way that thing held up during March was really remarkable. Were you surprised at how well it held up? I was. I figured a 35 to 40% drawdown in your algorithm would equate to maybe a 13 to 15% dip. And you were down like 9 when the market was down 36. How did you think it handled that downturn in March? And were you surprised or was that pretty much what you expected?
I was very positively surprised. So we were down at the worst time in 2020, down 11.
Okay.
The market
okay.
was down 35. And it was an incredible stress test because it was the worst environment for this kind of algo, basically a complete reversal of the market. Very violent. We were heavily invested going into the turn, and the algo got out of everything within 2.5 weeks. So we were basically in cash, protected, and the market kept going down and down and down. And we only had one position that it was completely decorrelated to the market. The more the market was going down, the more this position was going up, which made us negatively correlated to the market, which is pretty crazy given that it only has longs in it.
Okay, so hold on. And I don't mean to cut you off, but to that point, I've told this story before, but I'd like to talk to you about it. There was a day in the middle of the melee where, you know, I'm obviously, and for those of you that don't know, so Marcos manages, his algorithm handles about half of our capital. I run the value portfolio that you help out with. Marcos, you've helped out with that and had input on that as well. But the other half of our capital is run in your algorithm. And there was a day where I came into the office, and again, focused on my side of it, and just looked at the algorithm for that day. And I remember it starkly. You may or may not. You and I haven't talked about this yet. But it was one of those days where the Dow was down 10%. And I pulled up the algorithm, and I still remember it to this day. It was up 0.2. And I remember scratching my head going, wait a second. The Dow's down 10. This thing is long only. How in the world is it down 2? And I called you. I don't know if you remember this. I called you and I went, what in the world is going on? And you started to kind of chuckle. And the algo about a week prior to that had picked up two stocks that neither you and I had ever heard of. But the companies made N95 masks, and those things, within a day of each other, or maybe it was even on the same day, they were up like 80%. In a trading.
Yeah, there's one day like that. Yeah, we picked up a vaccine company and the next day was up 60%.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that was what, and again, you know, I'm not some brilliant mathematician or anything, but we played around with the idea of the algo and did some modeling and looking at different things. And the conclusions that we came to, like I said earlier, is I kind of figured a 40% drawdown might produce like a 15% dip in the algo.
All right, guys, for time reasons,
we got to cut it off right here. I realize that was short, but to listen to the remainder of the interview, which I'd strongly suggest, go to the Know Your Risk Radio podcast, subscribe, or you can just click on this episode. It's all free. You can hear the remainder of the interview along with every other interview we've ever done. We got to run. Have a great weekend. We'll be back next week. This is the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham now at knowyourriskradio.com. Zach will be back with more Know Your Risk Radio next Saturday at noon on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH.
Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.